This is session 7 of Modern Closed Circuit Television Design from PDH Online. Session 7 is entitled IPTV and contains discussions of the camera as an integral server, a multiple camera server, bandwidth requirements, viewing IPTV, and the overall IPTV system. You might have been wondering all along what IPTV really stands for. Well, the generic form of data packets on a local area network is called TCP/IP, where the IP stands for Internet Protocol. That's what's used for the net cams or network cameras or whatever else you wish to call them. They use the Internet Protocol, they use standard communication packets, and they package up JPG images and send them down the line. It's done in a very open protocol manner so that any web browser can access them and read the images. And something I don't know about, but I speculate with some confidence, it throws away unnecessary packets. Obviously, a slow line, like a dial-up line, does not have the response that a T1 line, a local area network at a large organization, would have. But they both work, and they both work well. Well, how does it happen? Obviously, the slow machine shows an image and then shows the next image and shows the next image, whereas the fast machine shows an image, shows the next image, shows the next image. In order for that to maintain a real-time relationship, the slow machine has to throw away intermediate packets. I've never seen a discussion of this, but it has to work that way. In any event, the individual pictures that are sent down the line are in Internet Protocol, for which reason we call it IPTV. For many years, remote construction sites have been visually monitored by TV cameras connected to phone lines back to the supervisor's office. Usually the images were saved on time-lapse videotape recorders we've discussed previously. For some years, the technology used was dial-up or local area network connection of a digital video camera that transmits by IP packets, that is standard local area network units, and is viewed on a personal computer with a web browser like Netscape or Internet Explorer. Special software was available to time-lapse record the pictures. The browser was used to view the stored pictures, and the PC printer was used for paper copies. The early remote digital video cameras became known as netcams when advertising websites included real-time pictures of the Golden Gate Bridge or San Francisco traffic intersections. And by the way, those are still up, and they're kind of interesting to watch if you wish to pursue it. Today, they are widely used in daycare centers, production control, and security at factories and schools. The local area network can be the World Wide Web or a set of cables just connecting the cameras with a digital video recorder. The technology making up the IPTV or netcam system includes a camera, the digital converter with adjustable compression, the camera server, that is the IP converter, local area network, the viewing PC, and the recording software. These will be discussed in some detail individually below. The digital camera integral server, all in one box. Data network items and terms, rather, are confusing. A server provides data to the user. The server is usually a box with many hard disks to hold the information and a software program to accept requests, authenticate that the user is permitted to view the received data, and then transmits the data. The user can have a simple browser like the Internet Explorer or Netscape, or actually a word like program like Microsoft Word or Excel that accepts data directly into the document. For this discussion, all of the above apply, except that the server is in the same box as a camera. It's not an outboard device, and it isn't actually storing much data at all. It's just transmitting it as a stream of video images. Axis of Stockholmsbrunnen, and that's easier in printing than it is in English, Sweden was first commercialized the technology, and today has about 75% of the market share. IPTV is a product from Sweden. It's been adopted in the United States and used very successfully in the United States, but it started in Sweden, and an awful lot of the research and advancements are taking place in Europe rather than in the United States. United States is still making a lot of money off coaxial analog TVs, and they're real happy to make money off the old technology. There is a moral to this story, which I will leave to the reader. The Axis offers excellent technical information and white papers, superb products, fair prices, and research to expand the capabilities of the technology. They're at axis.com. We'll talk about that when we talk about the links. U.S. competitors have entered the market with good products, often identifying capabilities that Axis chose not to pursue. Inexpensive but impressive user software has been a U.S. contribution. An IPTV Netcam digital camera integral server is a standard size box camera, which also contains a Unix processor and a flash RAM operating system. Now, let's stop and talk about that just a little bit. It's not the intent here to be a processor course, but there's a difference between Unix and Microsoft. What is the latest Microsoft operating system? Windows 2000, Windows XP, Windows CE, one of those families of products. The big difference is you pay $25 to $100, maybe $200 for the operating system if you buy it from Microsoft. You pay zero if you use Unix. Unix is a public domain processor, processing operating system, and it's well integrated with a number of microprocessors. So there's a tremendous cost advantage to the manufacturer to use Unix rather than a Microsoft operating system. Plus, there's a lot of established experience out there. People, especially college graduates who have studied Unix 4 years in college, are very comfortable working with Unix after they go to work for a camera company. Also, Unix, you modify the operating system. You get the source code for the operating system. You get to go in and muck around with the details of the internals. Now, with Windows, that sounds like a bad idea because you're going to mess up something that's already been messed up by experts in Washington, Washington State, that is. With Unix, it's a little more reliable to start with. And what you mostly do is pare out things, and you just keep the components that you need. The operating system for a TV camera is a very simple operating system. It's Unix-based, but they've thrown out 90% of Unix, just kept the parts that contribute to making the camera work and work economically with a small processor and a small amount of memory. I mentioned the flash RAM operating system, and I chose those words carefully. The Axis cameras permit you to update the operating system. You can plug it into a proper internet connection and get the newest version of the operating system. At present, they aren't charging for these upgrades. If they do, I would guess it'll be a modest amount rather than hundreds of dollars. But having the operating system in flash RAM means that it's modifiable, that you're not stuck with obsolete technology. You have an upward migration path built into your initial purchase. Retail price for the Axis 210 is less than $300, including a fixed 3.6mm lens. Add a 5 to 50mm varifocal lens, and this is an impressive tool. It does not have auto iris, and the instructions warn that it will be damaged by outdoor scenes. But it works very, very well if you stay away from the sun or reflections of the sun. The Axis 210 is reproduced in the written version of the course. Let me read a little bit from that advertisement. The Axis 210 network camera offers a cost-effective IP-based solution for professional indoor security surveillance and remote monitoring. It delivers superior image quality using progressive scan, and provides built-in motion detection and support for advanced event management. The Axis 210 delivers motion JPEG images up to 30 frames per second in all resolutions up to 640 by 480. It will also be able to provide both full frame rate motion JPG and MPEG-4 video streams simultaneously. Support for MPEG-4 will be offered as a free downloadable upgrade available in the third quarter of 2004. MPEG-4 compression mode is ideal for applications where available bandwidth is restricted and higher frame rates are required. By the way, this was touched on previously in the course. This is the one that detects the difference between this frame and the previous frame and only transmits the differences. Obviously, there's tremendous compression available from that, unless there's a major change. I was thinking about this when I was mowing the lawn. When the cloud goes over, there's a tremendous change. Everything changes from bright green to dark green as the shadow crosses over. So motion detection is going to pick up every cloud that comes over. And that's important for the MPEG-4 compression because it'll retransmit a full frame rather than just the changed elements because the full frame has changed. The Axis 210 connects directly to an IP network. With a built-in web server, the Axis 210 enables remote monitoring over a local area network or the internet using a standard web browser. Backed by the industry's largest base of application software for video and alarm management, the Axis 210 is an ideal choice for securing offices, shops, and other facilities. I have used these in a number of applications. Everyone has been very happy with them. They have limitations, but the limitations are stated up front, and beyond that, there are no complaints whatsoever. The older cameras, like the 210, support a standard browser and a $100 Axis program to record video and audio. A range of third-party DVR software, from $200 to $1,000, is available, simulating up to a 100-camera sequential switcher, up to a 16-camera quad, up to 30 frames per second for all cameras, and unlimited storage. A recent project utilized a compact local area network server with a gigabit communications, a terabyte of high-reliability storage, 100-camera capability, and cost $2,500. It displays in real time while recording and playing back stored images. The newer cameras include higher resolution, that is 1600 by 1200, and high compression up to 200 by 1. The higher compression is the MPEG-4 they were talking about in that ad. I didn't realize they'd upgraded the 210 for the MPEG-4. They're more expensive, not so compatible with browsers and third-party software. As they said in the advertisement we just shared, it's necessary to load an upgrade for Internet Explorer if you want to view the MPEG-4 stream. They're making it available free, but it's no longer a standard Microsoft product, and you almost certainly get the Microsoft warning that it hasn't been certified by people in Washington State, and you must be very suspicious of such things. A Netcam server, the better Axis integral server cameras grow rapidly in price. That is, when we get the higher transmission rate, the higher resolution, the auto iris for outdoor. And these things cost more money, and Axis takes your money when they provide these additional features. There's an economic choice, however, to use a $50 throwaway mini dome camera, with an outboard multi-camera server. So you've got a box that takes four cameras or six cameras, converts them all to JPG, converts them all to IP, and sends them down the local area network cable. So it's got six BNC inputs and one RJ45 output, and 12 volts to make the thing work. There are no perceivable differences between the operation of the integral camera server and the outboard multi-camera server. Now, that's not quite true. Just as you can run into problems on the high resolution and high frame rates on the integral server, there's a trade-off between frame rates and resolution on the multi-camera outboard server. At full frame rate, you can run one or two cameras. If you're willing to cut it down to something more appropriate for security, one frame per second, three frames per second, you can handle six cameras on the server provided by a third party and four on the server provided by Axis. We have an advertisement for the six camera server provided by someone else. Stardot, it says, has introduced an affordable solution for monitoring multiple camera sources over the internet and local area networks. The Express 6 trademark video server is a small standalone server that streams video from up to six video cameras that plug into the back. The Express 6 includes multiple network connections, one Ethernet and two serial, and an MPEG-JPEG processor for streaming real-time video. Because the Express 6 video server is a standalone solution, no PC is required in order for it to operate. That means lower cost and higher reliability. What are they talking about there? Isn't there something implied there that we're not quite getting? Yes, you can buy cards that go into a standard PC. They cost about $250, and they convert four camera streams into digital within the camera. I have not pursued these. I don't know if they can be downloaded in what particular format across the internet. But when they say no PC is required, they're referring to the $250 boards that go in the back of a PC. This is, and I thought the price was here with it, I'm remembering that it's $875, and it doesn't show up on this advertisement. It's a little more expensive, but it's a really nice implementation of the requirements in a very small package, and I think we'd be very happy installing it. On the prison job I've talked about several times, we are installing a bank of them, and I'll know soon how they work. The Local Area Network for Prison Surveillance Project. A dedicated local area network was created. The capability of remote viewing over the internet was examined, but not pursued at this time. If you build your own data network, you can void the IT department for a short time. A very inexpensive solution, and it works well. And once again, the Information Technology Department has an entire different perspective on the world than you and I. They are not so interested in solving the immediate problem as building a structure that can expand in a rational fashion. And sometimes doing something that works very well on a small scale does not expand very well. So they insist on putting in some components that you wouldn't choose to, you certainly don't want to pay for out of your budget, but it has long-term benefits. The kind of projects I work on have to have a one-year payback, or we don't get a project. And these long-term projects, it's a totally different way of looking at the world. The question remains, however, what is the effect on a business local area network when you install one or more ITTV cameras? Very informal tests demonstrated 30 users being fed from a single netcam. This was all in-house. This was part of an internal conference arrangement. And instead of sitting in the audience, I went back to my desk, and I got 30 sessions going on my desk, and I was able to add on up to 30, and it kept working. When I tried to go 31, they all started falling apart. I would miss frames. I'd miss 6 seconds of action. There was a timer on the bottom of the screen, and it would update every 6 seconds, and it wasn't uniform. Some of them got more updates than other updates. The system basically fell apart after 30 viewer sessions. And once again, this is probably not what you would encounter in the real world. There was one camera in the conference room down the hall. I had 30 sessions going on my PC, and there were other sessions going in Washington State, two going on in Florida, one in Detroit, and I think there was one in Philadelphia. I did check with them to see if they noticed any problem. They said they didn't notice any problem, but I don't know that they were watching all that closely anyhow. What do we learn from this? We learn that you can run 30 viewer sessions without problems. Beyond that, you start worrying about the specifics of the installation. But up to 30 appears to cause no problem at all. I did not check loading and saving graphics documents. I have AutoCAD on my computer. It would have been very easy to do. But I was real interested in the way the session was falling apart, and I was trying to understand what was happening, so I didn't try a graphic load and save. Also, on our local area network, large graphic loads and saves take a long time on a good day, and it would be very hard for me to identify how it was different, unless, of course, it locked up my PC. And it does lock up my PC on a good day, even when I'm not running multiple sessions. So that wouldn't have told us much either. For the prison project, the question of local area network loading was given to the video server vendor. His response follows. I cut out the header and the signature block from this letter, but this is an email that I received from the vendor. It's reproduced in its entirety in the written form. I will read portion to you now. I received the information regarding bandwidth. With the camera set for 352 by 240 and a full load of 6 cameras per Express 6, you will get a frame rate of 1 frame per second. With 6 Express 6 devices configured in this way, total of 36 cameras, you'll have a constant load on your data switch of approximately 4 megabits per second, depending on the content of the images. If you increase the image size to 704 by 480, your frame rate will drop to 0.3 frames per second. So using what Pelco and RCA and the rest of the world have decided is standard video, the 352 by 240, they say we can get a 4 megabit per second loading on the local area network. and we can support one frame per second, which we said was acceptable video. If we want to go to high resolution, meaning twice as high by twice as wide, or really four times the resolution, the frame rate will drop to 0.3 frames per second. That is a frame every 3 seconds. A person could potentially cross the lobby and be missed by the frames taken by the camera. So you know what your choice is here. Now, the question was really about the local area network loading. Does 4 megabit per second constitute a serious impact on the network? If it's a 10 megabit network, that's a serious loading, and it's almost knocking out the local area network. A 10 megabit network does not operate at 10 megabits per second. There are a lot of losses, over about 50% loading. You're getting a lot of collisions and a lot of retransmits. So 40% of a 10 megabit network is an awful lot of that network, and there isn't much left. If you're talking a 100 megabit network, 4 megabits just doesn't count. It isn't, it's a blip in the decimal point. If you've got a gigabit, and that was the application we were talking about, we're going to put it into a 10, 100, 1000 data switch. If you've got a gigabit, 4 megabits just isn't much at all. Again, returning to the fellow's email, we also have new DVR software that is not yet advertised. That's in July of 2005, almost certainly available by the time you read this or hear this. It's not advertised on our website, that will record 100 cameras and view up to 16 cameras at a time. The software costs $495. This may assist you in the small question you have regarding your number of cameras. The letter he was responding to said, I had 36 cameras and then I had 37 cameras. What do I do with that 37th camera? Well, he's saying buy his 100 camera package and 37 isn't a problem. There are other details associated with this $495 100 camera package. It is very much a camera recorder internet server. Now back we have the camera server that's combining cameras and pumping them down the internet. This thing is recording them, but it's pumping playback down the internet. The intention is that you call in with a browser to the DVR, and the DVR sends you the information you want. So rather than viewing directly off the camera, you view off the DVR record of it. And again, this may be at most a couple one-thousandths of a second late compared to the real time off the internet. But you also have the ability to access archive stuff from yesterday, the day before, 2 weeks ago. This is what we bought for the project, and I will know sometime very, very soon how well this works. He put in some tables. I will not reproduce the tables to you. He talks about server push and DVR pull, and I'm not sure I understand that. So let me reproduce what he says, and you can see if it makes sense to you. I hope these numbers address all your current questions regarding bandwidth. Essentially, since each of the Express 6 devices operate independently, you may run as many as you want. You could put an Express 6 server on every port of the 24-port switch and never come close to the bandwidth capacity of the switch. The fully loaded switch would only be transferring a sustained rate of 20 megabits per second. 20 megabits per second is tolerable on a 100 megabit system, and again, just a tiny fraction of a 1,000 megabit or gigabit system. The personal computer used for viewing the NetCam is non-critical. The oldest 2.88 megahertz PC will do fine. Any PC since Windows 98 will be able to view in foreground and perform all normal tasks in background. Swap foreground and background at will. There will be no conflicts, no slowdowns, and no lockups from the browser and the camera. Some illustrations are included to show the way TCP, IP, and IPTV cameras can be used. In fact, this is the fully configured prison installation where we have six camera servers going into a 24-port switch, going out to the left main console in the master control room, the right main console in the master control room, communications closet DVR number one, communications closet DVR number two, commissioner's office, and the supervisor's office. I insisted on keeping two DVRs because I'm a kind of guy that really believes in redundancy. Yeah, the salesman says for sure you can do it all on one DVR. Let's do it on two DVRs. One of them goes dead. We don't really care. We can keep limping along on one DVR while we get the other one fixed at our leisure. If we are operating on one DVR and it goes dead, we got to hustle a little bit to get that thing back in operation if we're going to need it. By the way, again, on this prison application, it was emphasized that there is no external data connection to the surveillance local area network. This concludes Session 7. Please join us for Session 8, which starts out on obvious and subtle design errors possible in closed-circuit television design.